for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, Hillary and Aaron will do anything to be in Bayou Beavers number 6. It's Hatchet 2006. Oh my God, we cannot get an intro right tonight. Okay, you know what? We're leaving it in.
Yeah.
We're leaving it in. I don't care.
No, it's good.
No, that was good.
That was good. That was good. Yeah, Bayou Beavers.
Bayou Beavers. That's okay. So, to put this into context, tonight we're doing a wonderful horror slasher throwback, Hatchet from 2006 from the just genius that is Adam Green. And I really love this movie. I've loved this movie since the very beginning. I used to bill it as Friday the 13th meets Porky's.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can give you that. Yeah. I don't understand why this doesn't have more of a cult following.
I don't either. I really don't. I feel like it works really well as a trilogy, now a quadrant. Is it four? There's four of them now. So what's a four movie? A quadrilogy?
Yeah. Yep. That word. I like that word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. So yeah.
Quadrilogy. Okay. Because there are four movies in this series, which is interesting, but Hatchet is just one of those fun films, man. It's fucking fun. You know, there's nothing to hate about this movie unless you're just a dick.
Yeah, no, it's got your gore. It's got your scare. It has such amazing humor and one-liners. The shots are great. The monster has a great back fucking story. And overall, like, cast kills it. Soundtrack kills it. I just all around, and I go, why aren't more people like in love with this movie? I feel like when I talk about it, people are like, oh, I've never seen that. And I go, you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to see this. Now, where can you see this? Well, all of the Hatchet movies are currently on Tubi. Okay, so we open in this movie. We are doing some gator hunting. We're doing some gator hunting with Freddy Krueger and Joshua Leonard. Did you recognize Joshua Leonard?
I recognized Freddy Krueger.
Okay. All right. So you recognize Robert Englund.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure in order to get Robert Englund to do a horror movie, you just have to ask. I feel like you just say, hey, do you want to be in a horror movie? And he goes, yeah. Yep, I do. Yeah, just like... Yeah, this is my theory. I have no evidence to back this up. Aaron will probably have facts or not facts. But my theory is Robert Englund is such a good human being that he feels that he owes it to the horror community, who has loved him and supported him and gave him a life, that now he's just like, yeah, man, send me a script. I'm in. Yeah.
I love that. It's kind of like, will there be food? You know, it's
right.
Like, I'll be there if there'll be food.
Yeah. A craft table. Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Absolutely.
Top billing.
Craft services and some titties. I'm in. So we're gator hunting. We're gator hunting in the middle of the New Orleans swamp.
Nolens.
And, okay. So you didn't recognize his son then?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
So Joshua Leonard is Josh from the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't. Bill.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so not the fat one.
Uh-huh.
And not the girl.
Right. Yeah, no, put that together.
Right.
Yep.
The other.
Yeah.
the stoner, question mark?
I feel like they were all stoners, but okay, so the other one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The one where they were looking for, actually, it's his fault, really, because they were looking for him at the end of the movie, where they're like, tell us where you are, Josh, tell us where you are. And then it's like, boop, thud. Credits.
Yeah, got it.
So. Okay. So, gator hunting with Freddy and his son. It starts to rain and they're basically, honestly, I don't know why they're trying to catch gators. I have no idea. I don't know if they're worth money. Is it like if you get like a gator and you bring the gator in, do you get a reward?
So, you can. That is a thing, especially in Nolens. And he was saying,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Robert Englund says, you know, it's like a 12-foot gator, which one would be a lot of meat for restaurants because they serve a lot of gator down there. And Robert Englund was making it sound very like Moby Dickish, of like,
yeah, right. Like, there's this one gator that I want to catch.
Right. Like, yes. It's been a terror, and we're out here, and we're going to get this son of a bitch. And I, in my notes, I compare him to like Elmer Fudd. He's got the Elmer Fudd look going on.
He absolutely does with like
the hat, the gun. The hat, and I was like, wow, he a hunting gators.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there's a lot of accents in this movie.
So many accents.
Some good.
Yeah. Some of them good. But yes, all of them.
Yeah. So just a lot of accents. So out of nowhere, so Josh Leonard decides to pee, as you do, and it starts raining, and they're kind of like, you know, he's teasing his son, you know, about having to pee. And then he looks around and Robert Englund gets disemboweled.
Yeah. And he starts peeing, and then the gator tries to bite off his junk. And so then they, you know, pulled ashore, and Ainsley, the brother.
Yes. Ainsley, Josh Leonard. Yeah.
Walks, you know, on shore, and then he comes back to eviscerated dad.
Yeah, just totally, like, entrails aplenty.
Yeah, and I gotta say, the blood rain gore showers in this movie are so nice.
Oh my god. The chef's kiss level of practical in this movie is just so amazing. I love it. The blood is hitting trees for no reason. There's blood sprays. There's tons of wonderful, wonderful practical effects. Thanks to the genius that is John Carl Beekler, also in this movie as Jack Cracker.
Oh, the guy in the boat drinking pee.
The guy who drinks his own piss. Yes, yes.
How proud are you of me, though, that I knew who that was?
You did. Yeah. You absolutely knew that character by the name, and that's a big deal for you. So, that is really bad. Yeah. So, yes, John Carl Beekler, famous for giving us the Kane Hodder Jason in Friday the 13th Part 7, and then just kind of kept getting better. Also, the guy who gave us Ghoulies, lots of other horror effects. He's, you know, an absolute genius, skilled dude, and rest in peace, buddy.
Oh,
I know. Well, because, you know, everyone's getting old. Sad.
Well, maybe that will be the only sad Aaron fact in this episode.
Actually, I will tell you this. There are no sad Aaron facts in this episode.
Well, except this one.
Well, I mean, except for the fact that, Beekler's down. Yeah. Beekler's down. So, yes, gore aplenty. The movie starts with this phenomenal, I hate to say this because I fucking hate this person as like a human being, but a phenomenal Marilyn Manson song called New Shit that starts playing, and it starts playing underwater, which is just even cooler. And the camera just fucking like cruises through this like underwater lair and then up into Mardi Gras.
Yep. Beer and booze and boobs. And yeah, no, the soundtrack is amazing. Marilyn Manson, yes, trash human being.
So we get this like group of guys, which are somehow less annoying and less offensive than the crew from Hostel.
Yeah. No, so you know how every time, like, you know, we put, you know, do one of these and it's always just, you know, I totally would have fucked that guy, and you know, this guy's so fuckable and this and that. Yeah. I
love it. You're like, not this movie.
No, I would have rocked Ben's world.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
That is so funny.
Tall, lanky, skinny, emo, moody. Yes.
That is so funny. So Joel David Moore did it for you.
Yeah, that is my type.
Wow.
Yeah, lanky, skinny, emo, goth boy that's, like, depressed with a chain wallet in the early aughts. Oh, God. Oh my God.
He's clearly going to Hot Topic.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure, Hot Topic.
Yep. And stealing stuff out of the back is Spencer Gifts.
Yes. Yes. That's it. So that's your fuckable in this movie.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. All right. So anyway, speaking of Joel David Moore, you wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. He's like a very tall, shaggy.
Emo shaggy.
You guys would know him from Grandma's Boy as the weird, creepy, thinks he's in the Matrix, long coat wearing, robot talking boss.
Yeah, would have fucked him in that too. Yeah, I...
Oh my god!
Them weird nerds, man. They
wild,
get me. Yeah,
buddy. Okay, all right. So yeah. Funny, interesting. Okay,
I got a type.
All right. So we've got Joel David Moore. Then we have an awesome African American gentleman whose name is Marcus in the movie,
yep. But
it's Dion Richmond, and everybody who is of a certain age will know him as Rudy's boyfriend on the Cosby Show, Bud. Now, granted, his name on the show was actually Kenny, but remember, Rudy called him Bud, and he was like, his name's not Kenny, his name is Bud. And he allowed her to call him that because he liked her.
Yeah, girl boss move. Yeah. I love that right from the beginning where you just like renamed a man that you have decided is going to be your boyfriend. I loved Rudy. She really had her shit together, in my opinion.
She was so cool, dude. Yeah. She really was. I love the fact that so Joel David Moore is this character, Ben. And Ben basically has been dumped by his girlfriend who he has been with since the 7th grade.
Yeah, very long relationship. They, you know, all of his friends bring him to Mardi Gras. We're going to get you laid. It's titties and booze, and you're going to hang out with your friends. And Ben hates Mardi Gras. Another reason to fuck him, because Mardi Gras is awful.
Mardi Gras is awful. Yeah. It really is terrible. We have something similar here in Florida, in the Tampa area, called Guavaween, which is just as lame.
Yeah, no, awful. So Ben, you know, just decides that he's gonna leave the party and he's gonna go on a haunted swamp tour. And I was just like, I'm absolutely going to fuck you because I don't want to be at Mardi Gras. I do want to go on the haunted swamp tour in Nolens around Halloween. Like, of course I want to go do this. I'm absolutely fucking Ben. For sure.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is like the only episode where I don't want to fuck anybody.
Yep.
And you're like all like, no, I am fine. I am here. I'm dick riding for Ben.
Yeah. Like every move he makes, I'm fucking you.
I'm fucking you on the bus. Yeah. I'm fucking you on that boat. Yeah. I'm fucking you everywhere. Okay. All right. So in case you're just joining us, that's Hillary wants to fuck Joel David Moore.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they decide that they're going to go try to find a haunted swamp tour. Marcus goes sort of just reluctantly because he knows he has to be there for his friend, you know.
But, like, props on that. That he left the beer booze boobs party because his friend is, like, fucked up. And I don't want to go, but I'm also just, like, going to go and be your friend. And that is like really what made me fall in love with Marcus of just like, fuck, man, I don't want to go. I absolutely want to be at Mardi Gras. I want to get drunk. I want to look at titties and do what normal guys do and just like bowed out to go and be a friend. Good job, Marcus.
Right. Good writing, too.
Yeah.
I really like the way the men are written in this movie. They're not written like hostile. I mean, no offense, man. I love Eli Roth. Like, I jock pretty hard for Eli Roth. But the male characters in Hostel just make you want to indeed cut their Achilles tendon and set them on fire.
Yeah, no, I do understand why Hostel happened. My theory, though, for why Hostel happened is because they were late. Because if they had just been on time getting back to their hostel, none of that would have happened.
Right, they wouldn't have met the weird dude.
Yeah, and the girls and everything else.
Lexi!
So be on time and be, you know, be respectful of other people's time.
Right.
And then you don't get set on fire.
Right. The more you know.
Yep.
So who is answering the door to do the Haunted Swamp Tour but Candyman himself, Tony Todd?
And, like, of all the people that I don't know... which is most of them forever, Tony Todd can, like, walk by in the background. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Tony Todd. God, yeah. Tony Todd. Like,
right. And
he is and I was like, this is really, like, a horror lover's dream movie.
It really is. There's so many cameos in this movie. And everything is just done in a very, like, respectful of the horror fan. You know, very, very respectful of... of the genre in general. I really, like, you can tell, like you said, you can tell Adam Green respects the material. He mm-hmm. respects the horror world. He does gore correctly. Like, I just fucking, I love this movie so much. So, Tony Todd's doing kind of like a half Norlands, half Mario Van Peebles from Jaws 4 accent.
Yeah.
He explains he can't do night tours anymore because some idiot, you know, slipped and tried to sued him for
negligence.
Yeah. You know, but my favorite line, one of my favorite lines in this whole movie is where you hear this like, and he turns around and he goes, I have to go tend to my birds.
Yeah. And just be careful walking on my sidewalk.
Right. And then
what was that?
And then what the fuck happened? Yeah. And then, yes. It's just, what? Okay. And then tells them that although he cannot give them a night tour, mm-hmm. he 2 blocks over, 8 blocks south, whatever, they can. So yeah. They keep ongoing. And I love the fact that they pass by 2 girls, one of which is vomiting, uh-huh. and the other one is holding her hair back.
Yep, holding her hair, stroking her head, and they just step around her. And, like, nothing is said to her, no comment, nothing.
In fact, Marcus even acknowledges and says, ladies.
Yep, yeah, like... Right, because that's really what happens at Mardi Gras. You are going to step in piss and vomit. Oh,
bro.
Don't wear your good shoes to Mardi Gras.
Nasty. Really nasty.
Yeah, nasty.
Nasty. That's what you do. Okay, so meanwhile, inside of one of these haunted tour waiting rooms, if you will, Joel Murray, that is Bill Murray's brother, is filming a Girls Gone Wild type video for what we think is some sort of Joe Francis knockoff.
Yeah, very titties out and woo.
That's right. Be coy.
Yeah.
Show me smitten.
Show me smitten, and the girl's like rawr because she doesn't know what anything
what smitten means. Right.
She doesn't know words.
No, she does not understand words. So anyway, if Joel Murray looks familiar to anybody, he was in One Crazy Summer.
Yeah, he was.
There it is. Yeah,
he was.
Okay, you got it. Yeah. He was in One Crazy Summer. He was also one of the stars of Dharma and Greg. Is that where you got him from?
No, it's One Crazy Summer, but now that you said it, yeah, he was.
Yeah. So he's naturally a very gifted comedian. Now, I did not recognize the brunette of the 2 Girls Gone Wild chicks that are trying to star in Bayou Beavers, which is a fantastic name, but you recognize Mercedes McNabb, the blonde, and where do you know Mercedes McNabb from?
Oh, she is Harmony from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was Cordelia's friend on the cheerleading team, and then she just kind of like disappeared for a minute, and then she was bitten by Spike. And she became a vampire. If it is in the Buffyverse, I know who they are.
Amazing.
That, like, for all the people, again, that I don't know in the world, which is most of them, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV show, I can tell you everybody's full government paper name, the character that they played, their backstory, their love interest, when they got knocked off. It is... disturbing.
Oh my god, that's
how
kind
much
of
Buffy information.
It's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. I don't think I can even say that about Dawson's Creek, and I know that show backwards and forwards. So we meet Perry Shen, who plays the tour boat guy.
Tour boat guy.
You know, and
what is his accent in the beginning?
Yeah, I don't really know. Like I said, a lot of accents. It's very similar to Sons of Anarchy season 3 when we went to Ireland, which, by the way, is North Hollywood. But when we went to Ireland in season 3 of Sons of Anarchy, there were a lot of accents on the table.
Yeah, no, there were. I wasn't really allowed to watch that show. But, Oh, yeah. Oh, I never told you that?
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So just sidebar, I was dating like a biker at this point, and I was watching Sons of Anarchy, and he walked in the room when Katie Sagal and Jax's old lady, and they were in the room where they would have church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they were standing by the table, And he hit me so fucking hard in the head where he was like, what are you watching? Bitches don't go to church. They're not allowed at the fucking Tate. And like rocked my world.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a serious. He was mad about this for months. So yeah, I don't even know how the season ends. And I keep like trying to like rewatch it, but I guess somewhere inside there's still trauma from it and I don't watch it. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So I have no idea I know Jax kills Gemma. I know that happens.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, but why? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Nope, I got nothing.
Well, Jax kills Gemma because Gemma kills Tara.
Oh yeah, no, that'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a really bad way. I think she takes like a fucking what's that fork for meat? It's a big fork.
What is it called? Don't do this to me.
Fork.
It's the big fork with the two. Yeah,
with the two prongs.
Yeah.
God damn it!
No, big fork with the two prongs.
She takes the big fork with the two prongs.
Yeah,
and she stabs her in the head.
Okay.
It's rough, bro. Wow. Yeah. So of course. So yeah, that's why.
Yeah. No, Jack should have killed her. Yeah. Yeah. Rightfully so.
Yeah. So. If you're
welcome
just
to Manic welcome Movie Monday.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, welcome back to the Sons of Anarchy wrap up. Okay. So on this tour bus, which they have to take to get to the tour boat.
Yes.
We meet my favorite couple. I will honestly say this is my favorite like older couple in horror history, whereas my favorite couple in horror history is obviously Hollis and Patty from My Bloody Valentine, but my favorite older couple is Shannon and Jim, can't think of their last name right now, which is Richard Reilly and Patrika Darbo, and they are fucking adorable. Like she's just so in love with him, and he's slapping her ass,
yeah,
and calling her lovekins.
Yeah. So, I know that Aaron is correct. However, I believe that their names are Carol and Jim.
Right.
And we just literally had this conversation right before we started recording. And she was just like, yeah, Shannon and Jim. And I said, who the fuck are they? Like, Carol
and Ed.
It's
Ed and Carol.
Yeah, Ed and Carol, obviously. Yes. And they are relationship goals. And as I'm watching it, I totally see, like, me, because if me and my old man went to New Orleans tomorrow, we would be taking a haunted fucking swamp tour. Like, without hesitation.
Yes. We would, walking down the road, see one.
We're going.
Yeah. And no, samesies to me and, yeah, me and Slink would absolutely take a haunted tour. Yes.
And the slapping the ass and being over the top and joking and goofy with everybody that walks on the bus, from the douchey producer to the two porn stars to fuckable Ben. Like everybody, we're going to be Facebook friends in 30 minutes or less. I know, and I love them, but I'm pretty sure their name is Carol and Ed.
So Shannon and Jim are providing our, you know, older viewpoint, if you will. And in the back of the bus, we meet Mary Beth, played by Tamara Feldman. She has since changed her name to something I can't remember, and I'm not going to try and do that, but Tamara Feldman plays Mary Beth, and she's just kind of, you know, sitting back there by herself. So Ben decides he is gonna bring it,
yep,
and try and hit on her in the most awkward but also not inappropriate and not skeevy and right, not creepy, just really, really, really awkward.
You definitely know he has had one girlfriend since the 7th grade, because he compliments her jacket.
He goes, it's a really nice coat.
Yeah. And Marcus looks over at him and it's just like, oh my god, my guy's got no game at all.
He goes, oh, that's a really nice name, Mary Beth. Of course, it's two names, Mary and Beth. I mean, my name is Ben, and most people have such boring names. Yeah. And Marcus just, they have this beautiful, like, freeze frame with Marcus looking at him like he is insane for having
up. Yeah, shut up and stop talking right now. But yeah, no, it's not, like, uncomfortable in, like, the, oh, you're giving me the willies.
And then he goes, so do you have any pets? Or And Marcus smacks him in the head.
Yeah. And, you know, Mary Beth is just like, I'm just going on a tour. Like, shut the fuck up. Leave me alone. I'm not interested in anything that you have to say or talk about. I'm literally just here going on the fucking tour. Shut up.
And I'm going to say this. I like Tamara Feldman as Mary Beth. Okay. Now, they, since part one, did a little recasting. Okay. And let's just say that they recast. But I like Tamara Feldman in this role. I like her. I feel like her accent is actually kind of more authentic.
Was it?
It's fucking.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Back to the show. Okay. So.
Make sure that you get our Patreon where you can hear how we really feel about other people. This is our Love Light episode. You get that for free. You want the snark? You got to pay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Patreon is just us talking shit the whole time. So they ask, so the couple looks over and notices that Joel Murray.
Doug Shapiro.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. I know that they're real names and you know their character names.
Yeah, except for Carol and Ed, apparently. Yes,
Carol and Ed. Shannon and Jim. Carol and Ed. Whatever. Bob, Carol, Ted, and Alice. Okay. So. He says, oh, you have a camera. Oh, we have ourselves a little, you know, director here. And she says, well, have you ever heard of Bayou Beavers?
Yeah. And I love it because Jim goes, yes.
Yeah.
He goes, no. Oh, so good. And like, you know, the wife's just sitting there all so lovingly. Just like, oh God, they're so good.
They're so fucking adorable, dude. They're just the most adorable couple ever.
Oh, yes.
So on this trip, the poor Asian kid that's fucking running the show is giving him, you know, factoids and different things. He's trying to like give stories about this killer who died on the bayou named Victor Crowley, but can't really get the story correct. So
yeah, very don't go near his house, but if you do, you'll hear him crying at night, and that's his house right there. And then it's just cut to Mary Beth, where she's just like, it's not even the fucking house. It's not right.
She's like, that's not even the story.
Yeah, not the story, not the fucking house. And I'm like, oh, okay, so Mary Beth knows, like, what is up. Because everybody else on the boat is just, you know, two or three of them are trying to make a little porno. Carol and Ed, Shannon and Jim, whoever they are literally just on like a sweet date. Ben wanted to go. Marcus got dragged and left behind. And yeah, like Mary Beth is, I know what's up and what's out here. And I honestly thought that she was going out looking for Victor Crowley. That's like, she went there to settle score,
She's a final girl from like another world that we didn't know,
right? Yeah, like the incident with Tony Todd or something like that was, you know, her girlfriend, because she got a little lesbian vibe to her.
She's a little butch.
And you know, so I was like, okay, so Mary Beth is the one to watch.
That's right.
Love that army jacket.
Yeah, right. Army jacket.
Yeah.
Nice coat.
Yes.
You have any pets? Or okay, so they notice that there is a guy in a rowboat, and that is Jack Cracker, i.e. John Carl Bickler, and he's just sitting there. He's basically trying to get their attention and tell them, like, hey, swamp's closed. You're not supposed to be in this part of the swamp. Like, he's trying to give them that information, and the Asian kid's like, nah, 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 nah. He's like, don't listen to him. He drinks his own piss.
Yep. Trying to, you know, start the boat. It sounds like the engine is flooded. And they're just like, well, we think that guy's trying to talk to you. And he was just like, nah, he's a crazy guy. He just sits in a boat and drinks his own piss. And you just kind of hear him say, like, the swamp is closed. These woods are haunted. Don't go here. Get out. And then he picks up, like, a urinal container
and drinks it.
So it really, you know, sold the Asian kid's validity, the story.
Right, you're like, well, that guy is a wackadoo.
Yeah, you shouldn't sit in a boat and drink pee.
No. Though it is sterile.
I don't know why that's a thing.
Like, I don't know why that's like a selling point for it, because I don't think it is a selling point, but yes, sterile it is. Urine is sterile.
But I think
you heard it here first.
Cycling your urine really fucks up your kidneys.
I don't know, dude. It's disgusting either way. Marcus looks over at the girl who they've kind of hit it off. The brunette, Jenna, who is part of the Bayou Beavers situation, and she's itching her vagina. She did a little scratchy scratch, and then he like took his arm away, and I was like, you know what? As a woman, I will say this. There could be lots of reasons why she's itching. And first of all, it's not the 80s, so it's probably not crabs.
Well, they had the story walking to the boat, or when they were going to go on, where Marcus and Ben are talking about getting laid. And Ben says, like, well, you know, you got crabs from that lady that you picked up at a bar. She was scratching all night and she had bugs in her bush.
Bugs in her bush.
So yeah, as soon as like there was just one scratch,
right.
Yeah, Marcus was out. Like, I'm not doing that again.
Which sucks, because like I said, it could have just been that she shaved that day.
Yeah, and probably did if you're on Bayou Beavers.
Right. She's trying to get some camera time, yeah. Man. She's gonna have to have like, and you know, this is early aughts, which is a time period where like women were super bare down there. Like, it was a fucking like. Nobody was going Berber. It was all hardwood.
Yeah, all hardwood, and at best, the tiniest of landing strip. Can you call it a landing strip?
Yeah. Not even. I mean, it was tiny. Yeah. It was like a little Hitler stash at the top.
Yeah, very Hitler stash. Yeah,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. We'll run that. So yeah, no, that's completely appropriate. Okay, so then the boat. So then they hit something. So then they hit something. What do they hit? Is it a rock?
Yeah, like a rock, and like the tree is coming out of the water. So it's a whole combination thing where he runs into the tree rock and they can't get the boat off. So they have to, you know, climb out this log sort of to make it onto land because the boat is sinking.
And it's raining
because it just rains randomly. In, you know, Nolan's, you know, 15-20 minute spurts where it just pours down and then it's fine.
Yep. And let me tell you this, Richard Reilly is the first to get off the boat. He actually gets Jim. He gets off, like, he's trying to climb the, you know, the log or whatever. And the actor, Richard Reilly, actually ended up slipping, and I don't know if he broke his foot or he sprained his foot, whatever, but just kept on going, and they called it the Richard Reilly School of Acting.
Oh my god.
Because he just like was like, oh, nope, still going.
Yeah, no, can't call quit yet.
And you would know Richard Reilly from Office Space, because he is the employee who he was trying to find investors for his jump to conclusions game.
Okay.
Yeah, how long has it been since you've seen Office Space?
A while.
Yeah, a while, okay. So he's like, it's a jump to conclusions.
You know what I was thinking The Office.
Oh,
so no. I went.
Nope. Office Space. No. Someone's got a case of the Mondays.
Right, yep, okay.
TPS reports.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay, got it.
Red stapler.
Yep, red stapler. Perfect. Yep, you got it. Okay.
Burnout, sorry.
Yeah,
I get stuck places.
So he slips and falls, and then a gator bites his leg.
Yep, but Mary Beth is there and pulls a gun out and shoots the gator.
And it's awesome because she shoots the gator and they're like, holy shit, she has a gun. And they're like trying to kind of like get off of this boat. And Mercedes McNabb is like, oh, I'm not going out there. And he goes, oh, you're going out there.
Yeah. And just, you know, really, I find it interesting that nobody was really addressing the fact that she had a gun yet. Where it was just like, all right, well, we got to get off the boat. Where I would like to think that if I was on the boat, I would be like, why?
Yeah, they don't touch on the gun until maybe like 5 minutes later.
Right. Yeah. Once they're like all off the boat and safe, it was just like, okay, so why did you bring a gun to a haunted swamp tour?
Why do you have a gun on a swamp tour? And she basically says she's looking for her daddy and she's looking for her daddy and her brother, i.e. Robert Englund and Joshua Leonard from the very beginning of the movie. And she says these woods aren't safe. So she tells the actual story about Victor Crowley and how Kane Hodder was out chopping wood one day and Adam Green's future ex-wife was eating oatmeal and overalls. That is his ex-wife. That is his soon-to-be wife at that point in the creepy, deformed kid overall outfit.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right.
Yep. And, you know, this, and he has this poor kid. He has this poor kid who's, like, deformed, and he can't really do anything with him, and other kids won't play with him, and the kids make fun of him.
But he loved
him very much and fed him every day and clothed him and made sure he was okay.
Yeah, like, you know, yes, had a very disfigured son, but, like, did not mistreat him. Loved him, fed him, cared for him, you know, did all of the things that like a great dad would do. And I loved that touch because so often, you know, like that you get the backstory and it's just like walked out, mom did this.
Or dad was a fucking asshole and set me on fire and that's why I'm all scarred.
Right. You know, alcoholic mom or that, you know, abuse. And it was just like, no, that wasn't his story. And, you know, like some kids came on Halloween, you know, set the house on fire.
Right, because they were throwing firecrackers.
And from there, he started screaming in the house, couldn't get out. And his dad showed up to try to save him and took a hatchet to get through the door as his son is trying to get out. And he hit his son in the head with the hatchet and killed him. And like, it makes me want to cry.
I know. I got very teary-eyed with that just because, like, I met Kane Hodder at a convention one time and, like, we talked about both being bullied as kids and then I ran into him at another convention and he recognized me and we talked more about that and kind of, like, cried a little together and it was really cool because if you've ever seen his documentary or read his book, he is a very fascinating individual who dealt with a lot of bullying growing up because he was smaller than other kids and also dealt with a lot of like self-loathing and all of the stuff that came from the fact that he accidentally set himself on fire.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Like
I did know that. But I didn't know, like, that, you know, he had been, like, so bullied or, like, felt so insecure. No, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah. His documentary, I think it's called To Hell and Back, is just amazing. Like, it really is just amazing to see him. And when he meets or hears about other children who are in, like, the burn wards and things like that, he will actually show up to hospitals and visit them.
Yeah, see, I met him at a convention I was just like, oh my god, you were like so cool as Jason, and he was like, yeah, woo!
He's a great guy. Yeah, he's just a great guy.
We didn't have like a quiet moment together where we, you know, shared stories and a glass of wine and that's so beautiful.
Because you were the bully's bully. Like, you weren't bullied growing up. I was bullied growing up. So it was, I was talking about being bullied by, you know, being the chubby kid. And then he was talking about being bullied for being small. And we were just kind of like, it was good, man. It was a really good moment.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, man. He's a really cool
dude. I feel like I missed out on so much life.
No, not at all. I wouldn't wish being bullied on anybody, man. Fucking no, absolutely not, man. Meanwhile, so the
this episode is 18 hours long.
We got dark. We went dark with it. We went dark. Sorry. So Marcus, someone says something like, they're probably sitting at a Denny's somewhere. And Marcus just stares off into like this, it just stares off into the like the ether. It just goes, moon's over my hammy.
Yeah. Love that line.
So good.
It's just so random.
I know. It's so good. That's why this is fucking, I have to give Adam Green so much credit here because I love his screenplays. I love his scripts. I love his dialogue. I loved it in Frozen, which is another film that he did, which is so fucking amazing. I love it in the Hatchet series. I loved it in his horror sitcom for Shudder called, actually, it wasn't for Shudder. It was for, was it Fearnet?
Fearnet.
Was it Fearnet was the station? He had a sitcom, the first and only of its kind horror themed sitcom called Holliston. And it is also a awesome, hilarious, you know, witty, well-written, you know, masterpiece. As you know, he just, like you said, he just does it. It's great. His fucking dialogue's fantastic. So, so Jim and Shannon decide that they're gonna walk towards the cabin. He can't walk because he's missing a foot at this point, or he's got a chunk of his foot had been taken away. It's very hard because it's dark.
Yeah, I know that the gator bit him, right. So I don't know if it's just the gator bite. I like the leg is there, but I'm sure just shredded. But yeah, all you see is kind of like bloody pants.
Yeah, it's like very bloody pants. And what I love about this is that Shannon doesn't give a shit about anyone else on this boat, okay? Yep. Like, she even has a great line, which is, all these people are younger than us and they're complaining.
Yeah, I absolutely love how Shannon is just, we are saving my husband.
Absolutely. She's like, my husband is hurt, in pain, we're going towards that cabin, whatever the fuck it is, we're gonna get him help. And I said to Slink, I said, I would do that for you. I would absolutely do that for you. And I have very few ex-boyfriends I can say that about.
Yeah, no, it was very, she was so like goofy and loving and charming on the boat. And the second it was time to nut up, she had no problem letting everybody know, we are saving my fucking husband. The road is over there past Victor Crowley's house in the haunted woods. I don't fucking care. Grab my husband. We're going.
Yes, it's fantastic. So, unfortunately, they run right into Victor Crowley.
Yeah.
And he proceeds to chop up Richard Reilly. It just, with this, it's just amazing. It's just a symphony of just blood and guts and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's absolute carnage. You know, we got the, you know, blood showers again. And, you know, everybody takes off running, really, except for Shannon.
And then Shannon, as she's trying to get away, gets her head ripped open like a fucking, like a throwaway scene from Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Beetlejuice. Yeah, that's exactly my note. Yeah, just
from the mouth.
See,
yeah.
This is why we're podcasting partner.
Uh-huh, just absolutely Beetlejuice-esque. He takes, like, her mouth and just pulls her head apart like that. I was like,
kind of amazing.
Yes, that is fantastic.
So Shapiro says, fuck this, and takes off into the night, into the woods, never dropping the camera. Never dropping the cinema gold that is his Hi8 camera.
Yeah, no, gotta take that with me. He takes off, and then Mary Beth finds her dad and brother.
Yeah, and then so she's like, oh, that's my dad and my brother. So she's crying. Who is it? Shapiro gets his head twisted off. Just like pops off.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to like lurk around the woods by himself. And Victor Crowley's like, nah, bitch. I got you. So, yep. Kill him right off.
And it was crazy. Like tripping over bodies is hilarious.
It really is. Especially, I mean, I get it because you're like in the woods and it's dark and everything. But normally, I'm usually just like, how do you not see the huge fucking body on the floor? But this one, even though it's lit up enough for us,
it's dark and wet and all kinds of stuff. It's hard to tell what you're stepping on.
Yeah. Yes. What am I stepping into?
Marshy.
Yeah. You know, you're stepping into Doug Shapiro.
Yep. And then they end up at the cabin murder buffet. Where there's just like a bunch of like sad dead animals that he's been eating.
Yep. The you know, chamber of terror of the basement, where they're just like, all right, you know, we got to go figure it out and go get weapons because we're gonna have. Mary Beth shoots him. Like when he's killing Ed, she shoots him and he falls. And that's when they just go like, okay, so we're gonna have to fight him. We have to go back to the house so we can get weapons, which is why they turn around. And also to note, after Doug Shapiro gets all ripped up, they find his wallet and realize
Yeah, Doug Shapiro is not actually Doug Shapiro producer. He is he's a clinical, I think he's like a drug rep.
Yeah, like a support rep of some sort, you know. Where, yeah, he just went to Nolan's to try to get chicks to make out for his own personal collection.
That's right.
So we cheer his death even more now.
Exactly. Fucking problematic motherfucker. Yeah. So, but the part where this really is just makes me laugh. I don't know why, but it's so throwaway, but it's hilarious, is when they go into the murder cabin. There's all these dead animals. And there's a raccoon just kind of like laying there. And all of a sudden the raccoon like comes to life because it's like dying. And it's like, meh. Yeah. And you're like.
Just seems like he's going to like bite you randomly. Yeah. No, I pulled my hands back too. Like I was.
I jumped up. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that raccoon.
Like, yeah. The raccoon's going to bite that guy.
And then Victor Crowley gets a belt sander.
From where? We don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. He's got a lot of tools.
Yeah.
It's important to point out that Victor Crowley is in fact Kane Hodder. So Kane Hodder is playing his dad and himself as an older gentleman. And he's, you know, he built like a fucking Mack truck. So he's huge. And he just takes this belt sander and takes off Jenna's face.
Yep. Yeah. Just sands it right the fuck off. And then the little Asian man.
Oh, yes. He cuts off his leg with a shovel and then decapitates him with a shovel.
Yeah. Well, got it. Who has gone through 18 accents at this point.
Oh man, so many accents, because we go into like he had started off with like this weird like bastardized New Orleans kind of situation. Then he goes into a more, some would say, racist Asian accent, very like, you know, Jerry Lewis a la, you know, Breakfast and Tiffany's. Then he goes like straight Valley Boy.
Yeah. Well, there was Detroit in there for a second where he had like a little Eminem 8 Mile swag. And then all of a sudden, he is from the Valley, should be on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Went, what the fuck? So yeah, we kill him off.
Thank God. Yeah. He dies because he's fucking annoying. Then Victor Crowley lifts up Jenna, who's missing a face at this point, and impales her.
Yeah, the NY student that when they have like this moment of truth, she's, you know, on her high horse that she went to NYU and she's an
actress.
And you know, you're in Bayou Beavers 5 or something like that. And then all of a sudden she just breaks down and she goes, I didn't go to NYU. I went to Hofstra. And McNabb is like, NYU? Never heard of it.
Right.
Yeah. New York University?
Like, that's a thing.
Yeah. Right? It's not a thing. And I was like, God, I love you.
You're so great. Oh, my God. So, what's great about this movie, though, is that there's just a ton of jump scares. Like, besides the fact that there's all this great gore, it's funny and it's not funny campy. It's actually funny, witty, and funny charming. The characters are good. No one's annoying. Well, except for fucking, you know, the tour bus guy, but he dies anyway. And they decide that it is time to fight back.
Yeah. And they come up with the plan of, okay, if this is, you know, a ghost haunting the woods and he's reliving that night, the best way to fight him is you fight fire with fire. We are going to have to light Victor Crowley on fire.
Yeah. And I love that they're trying to lure him out of his cabin by insulting him. But then like what makes me so laugh is like fucking Marcus will insult him and then shudder.
Yes. It was such a like Kay and Peele sketch of just, you know, where he would say something offensive and then look like he was about to shit a chicken.
Say something so offensive. Good.
Oh, and I was like, that's real life of like, I got to call you out because we're going to fight. But man, I don't want to fight you because you have murdered all my friends.
Right.
Love it.
It's very scary. Right. So they do douse him with gas and light him up. Then he fucking pops up again in the cemetery.
Well, because it starts raining.
It puts the fire out. Yeah. Wow, I totally missed that.
Oh, no. See, I love that. They light him up. He is spinning around. It looks like we've won. It's the end of the movie. And then the downpour of Nolan's weather.
No shit. Okay.
Yeah. And like, you can just see like that look on their faces of like, all we have now is time to get ahead of him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And then, okay. So I really hated the fact that Marcus had to die. When Bud went down, I was very upset. Because it was like, he's going to pull me apart. And then he gets away only to have both of his arms ripped off and thrown at him.
Yeah. Marcus had to die, you know. I was hoping it was going to be like the final three, but no.
Yeah.
Nope. Really. We lost Marcus.
I did think it was going to be. So Victor Crowley climbs on top of Joel David Moore, and I swear to God, drools into his mouth.
Oh God, I really hate that horror movies like do this now. There's like this new like let's gross you out effect, and yes, a pussy gross substance going into my mouth will make me retch every time I see it,
bro. And what's great about this is that Ben cannot help but vomit.
Yeah.
Like, for the rest of this movie.
Yeah.
He spends the rest of this movie unable to get past the fact that someone drooled into his mouth.
Yeah, just very, like, run, heave. Run, talk, heave. Oh, run, God. Move, he. And
vomit milk.
Yeah, it is, now that's all the movie turns into.
Yeah, just a big old vomit fest, right? Okay, so they end up in this boat, and we've got the Friday the 13th moment, right?
Yeah.
With the beautiful symphonic music playing in the background. And then all of a sudden, does she get pulled into the water? Help me.
She falls in to the water, like something kind of rocks the boat and she goes over, and you know, she's going under the water and like trying to get back up. But, you know, Ben, being the guy that he is, reaches his hand in to save her. And part of me was like, you're not going to jump in? And then I went, Hillary, would you jump in the water for some bitch you just met when there are one, gators, and two, like, yes, we've, you know, killed Victor Crowley. But, you know, like, he has been set on fire. We've shot him. I don't know that I'm jumping in for you, Mary Beth. But so I'm going to reach my hand into the gator-infested waters to pull you out. Good for you. Good for you.
Except that his hand is not very, is not attached to his body anymore.
Wah, wah.
Whackity, schmackity, do.
Yeah,
no, his hand is his arm. His arm is severed.
Yeah.
He is dead.
Yeah. It is Victor Crowley holding his arm into the water to lull up Mary Beth into getting into the boat. End scene credits.
Yep. I love it. Because all it just fucking ends with her screaming and boom, another awesome banger of a song. Done.
Yep. I just went, what a perfect fucking ending.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it. I fucking loved it. I am totally shocked that this doesn't have like such a cult following, like an underground cult following. It should. So, you know, subscribers and listeners, you should start that.
Yes. So into it, man. So into it. So, do you have any shout outs this week?
No, you always do the shout outs.
Okay. All right. So I have a shout out, and my shout out goes to the lovely, beautiful Angelica Noble, who is organizing a GoFundMe. Let me just tell you a little something about GoFundMes. So recently I found myself unemployed and really in desperate need of money, you know, in general. So I started a GoFundMe so that I could pay my bills. And I was really touched and astounded at the amount of fans that we have that stepped up, both in recovery and out of recovery, fellow podcasters who stepped up and donated $50. You know, obviously you stepped up in a big major way, and I wanted to say thank you so much for this, because we would not have been able to eat. We would not have been able to do anything. I have since found a new job out of corporate America that I really, really love. and hope to keep. But for now, I will have a steady paycheck and I won't have to do that. But, you know, everyone needs a little help sometimes is really what I'm saying. So this wonderful woman, Angelica Noble, is organized a GoFundMe. She's an artist, philanthropist, and entrepreneur, and she's trying to open her own studio. She's been, let's see, she does tattooing, and this is in the St. Petersburg, Florida area. Dream is to bring our community together, do charity events, curating art exhibits that focus on giving back as much as possible and allowing artists from all walks of life to shine, which I fucking love. Truly believe it takes a village to leave this world a better place than we came into it. Appreciate every single penny any of you can spare. So if you are interested in helping her out, please go to the GoFundMe for Angelica Noble. That is Angelica, A-N-G-E-L-I-K-A, Noble, N-O-B-L-E. And I will put it in the show notes so you guys can donate if you are able to. Like I said, as artists, we don't make any money at this. Like, for anyone to make money at doing anything creative is a fucking pipe dream in today's society. So the fact that, like, anybody has reached out and said, hey, try to make a go of it, try to have my own studio. It's like, dude, you know what? Absolutely. Like, when I get paid again, you know, I will be able to contribute. But we love our fans, and our fans were really good, and our fans made sure that I kept food on the table during this time. So I just want to say thank you to the fans, and thank you to my podcasting partner, because that was a really big deal.
I need tattoos.
All right, see? Look at that.
I my whole right arm, I want to just, like, kind of dedicate to horror, and I just haven't sat down and found somebody. So, yeah, no, let me look at her stuff and look into this.
Fucking super exciting, Angelica, if you're listening. I hope that helps. So if you would like to follow Manic Movie Monday on the socials, as the kids would say, you can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook under Manic Movie Monday Podcast, Manic Movie Monday. And next week. Okay, so I was looking at the new spreadsheet, which I fucking love, by the way. And I kind of want to do 976 Evil.
Okay.
Because I just watched the You're So Cool, Brewster documentary about Fright Night, so Stephen Jeffries is on my mind, and I love any opportunity to talk about gay porn.
Yeah, no, and 976 numbers. I love it. 976 yeah. Evil it is.
I'm super in. Okay, all right, you guys, thanks for sticking with us, and as always,
stay manic.